Morning, everyone. Good to see you. So really good to see you today. And hey, you didn't get blown away. You're here. That's exciting, isn't it? We're still here. I was a little bit unsure what to expect, to be honest, when people said it was a red weather warning. I did have visions in my head of like the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy and her house flying overhead. But seemingly, it was a little bit more mundane than that in Edinburgh on the whole, wasn't it? I know there's a few trees and things, but I think we didn't get the worst of it. But anyway, good to see you here and see so many of you here, upstairs, downstairs, and if you're catching us online as well, that's really great to have you. So, yeah, ordinarily, we teach through the Bible every week. We are going to read a few verses in a moment, but this Sunday, we're just going to share a bit about vision, me, Luke, and Chris, and the aim behind that is so that as a church, as kings, we can be of one heart and one mind in the things that God is calling us to together. And that's our plan today. So we're calling this year ahead stepping out and stepping in, or stepping in and stepping out, as the slide says. And it's an invitation to faith, to courage, to action. And we are going to be talking, you know, to King's people today, if you feel that you're a committed part of King's. But even if you're not, there's things in today which I think will be highly relevant for you. And if you're not a Christian here today, do you know the whole of becoming a Christian is about stepping in and stepping out? It's stepping into a new identity in Christ. It's about having your past failures forgiven. It's about becoming a child of God, to be known and loved by Him, and to become God's friend. It's about stepping out on a journey of trusting God with your life and in the decisions you make, making Him the Lord of your life. And it's a journey for all of us as Christians. But particularly today, as we talk about vision and kings, here's our sense of where we feel we're going, is that we feel like God is calling us to start new churches. God's called us to be, in Acts 13, an Antioch-type church that's been spoken over us, which means basically we're meant to be a generous and sending kind of church, to basically start churches all over Scotland and the world in time by His grace. That's not something we can do by ourselves, but it's by Him. And here's our sense that in these coming times, we're meant to be starting communities of King's Church in the north of Edinburgh and in Midlothian as the next two places. And this is all part of God's greater plan to fill the earth with His glory and His presence, to start gospel churches in every community around the world. And that's the journey we're on. It's the journey that many churches that we know are on, that many churches in Edinburgh are on. It's very, very exciting to see what God is doing. But first of all, we're going to read from the Bible. Is that okay? I thought you'd be okay with that, because that's what we do every week here. I didn't want to kind of stumble you by not reading from the Bible. Here's a story of faith from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. And you'll probably know it if you've been a Christian a while, but if you haven't, it's a great story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We love this story, right? It's all about how amazing Jesus is, that Jesus can walk on water. And at the end of the story, it's all about this community of people being even more thrilled with who Jesus is, and they're worshiping him. They're astonished at him, saying he's the Son of God. But we also love how it interacts with our humanity. It interacts with our questioning faith and what it means and the things we're not sure of sometimes. And the story centers on an invitation. Peter asks a faltering question, and Jesus responds by saying, "Come, come." Let me talk to you about the story of Kings so far. So back in 2002, there was a group of about a dozen of us. Matthew and Anne, Clifton Brown, and a number of us were here, and we'd moved up from Newcastle. We weren't in a boat. We were meeting in somebody's flat, somebody's house. And we had this sense of, we thought, well, Lord, we're excited about you. We love your church. We love Jesus. We'd love to start a church in Edinburgh. And we kind of prayed about it. We said, Lord, could we do that, please? And we felt Jesus say, come, come. And we began to walk this journey of faith. We don't really count numbers, but somebody did a head count last week because it was baptisms. They said, oh, there's 350 people here last week. I think, oh, we've grown a bit. See, things happen as we begin to walk towards Jesus when he says, come. A few years later, we weren't particularly looking to buy a building. We were meeting in sort of rented halls and things, and we couldn't afford a building. We didn't have any money or anything like that. So, but then this building came up for sale, and somebody gave us a prophetic word saying, you know, I feel that God wants to give you a building. And we're like, well, that's great, because we'll have to, because we don't have any money. So, but then we began to pray about this building as it came up for sale. And we said, Lord, would it be okay if we could pray for a building, please? And he said, yeah, come, come. So we began the journey of faith, and God provided every penny that we needed to buy this building when we needed it and to refurbish it. A few years later, there was a group of people, it was our first time having planted Kings 20-odd years ago, there was another group in Kings, and they said, you know what, we'd love to plant another church. And we're like, well, that's exciting. Where do you feel we should be planting a church? And they said, we feel like we should be planting a church in Livingston, in West Lothian. And we began to pray into that. And here's the sense that we had, that Jesus started saying, come, come. And so we began that journey of faith, of stepping out of the boat to walk towards Jesus. Good things happen when we walk towards Jesus, and that church is a wonderful church in West Lothian, loved by God. It's an incredible place. So here's the invitation of faith to us in a year of vision, is to come. Now, I've got to say, having read the story a number of times this week, I'm a little bit mystified by Peter's original question. How would you finish this sentence if you were terrified, you thought you saw a ghost, and the wind and the waves were buffeting the ship? Jesus, if it's really you, finish the sentence. Here's how it would finish. I'm guessing, for 200 people in the room, whatever, I'm guessing that it would finish this way. Jesus, if it's you, come closer, please, and get on the boat and sort this all out. See, our intrinsic reaction when we want safety is to say, come here. Here is our safe place. And here's the interesting thing about the life of faith, that Jesus is always calling us to be where he is, which is there. So I'm going to just draw a very simple diagram. Here's a place. It's called here. Got it? And here's another place. It's called there. And here's the thing about here, is that here is a wonderful, wonderful place, often. It's the place of security. Let's imagine it's your Christian life. Imagine it's King's Church. We love Kings. I love Kings. I love here. And God is doing some amazing things here. We're growing. God is blessing. there are salvations that happen with some regularity now. We baptized 7 people last week, 5 young people, 1 Tanzanian and 1 Iranian. How exciting was that? Our welcome group is thriving with new people coming in all of the time. We've been able to start new small groups. Beyond Kings, we're actually quite well known in the city amongst other Christians as being kind of a trusted sort of place. We help lead a pastor's prayer group, a network of about 60 pastors across the city that pray together every week. We have a reputation for being a safe place. Tacone read the verse about the name of the Lord being like a strong tower. Well, sometimes people say about Kings, you know, it just feels like a safe place to be. Sometimes people come to us from other places where they've felt a bit damaged or hurt, and they say, you know, I'm just loving being here. Kings isn't immune from those sorts of things, but people find it to be a safe place. Now, everything is relative, but when I chat to other church leaders, even in our city, here's what I come away with. Our youth work is thriving. Our kids' work is thriving. This church is thriving on so many levels. There are many challenges, but it's thriving. We once hosted a leaders' gathering here at King's midweek for some pastors, and a pastor's wife came up to me afterwards from another church, and she said, "So, where did you find all these people to serve midweek?" You know, they're serving tea and coffee, and I was like, "Well, I don't know. That somebody else found them." And she said to me, she said, "You know," she said, "I make the tea and coffee every single Sunday at church, at our church." She said, "Because there's nobody else to do it." And I thought to myself, oh yeah, that's what Kings used to be like. Back when we planted, it was all hands on deck every week, every Sunday. But God has brought us into a place where, gosh, yeah, we serve on a 1-in-4 rota and these wonderful sorts of things. But here is a wonderful, wonderful place. People stay and chat for coffee for an hour after church. People say to me, if they're visiting, I said, "Why is everybody still here?" I said, "Well, it's just church, isn't it?" And they say, "Well, no, it's not like our church." You think, well, isn't it great that God's building a family, a community here that wants to chat? And here's the danger, that we can love this place here so much that we say, you know, "Jesus, could you just come here more, please? We'd like a bit more of Jesus, a bit more of the Holy Spirit." But that's kind of our vision. But, you know, you can't read the Bible without understanding that the Bible is always talking about a place called there. The Great Commission, we taught into this. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. It's a there place. It's a going from here to there. Isaiah 54, lengthen, strengthen, spread out. It's a there thing. There are harvest fields that God is calling us to work into, to be more present in. As we spread out, it's there. There are parts of Edinburgh, the Lothians and Scotland that don't have vibrant, worshipping church communities. It's there. There is the place where we're praying for God to send laborers into the harvest field. But, you know, most importantly, there is a place that God keeps speaking to us about. He keeps speaking to us about going more than he is about staying. We don't have time to go through all the prophetic words that God has spoken to us over many months and years, but here's a couple of things to help focus us this morning. Ruth, who actually shared this morning, she had a picture of Kings as a tower. Towers are safe places, as we've talked about. She said, "And then I saw God starting a fire inside the tower." She said, "And then God started removing some of the bricks and taking them to start churches in other places." She said, "But here's what I noticed." She said, "As that happened, so this tower became a lighthouse with the fire burning inside it." So there was this sense of recommissioning that, I mean, a lighthouse is also a safe place, isn't it? But here's the thing, a recommissioning from a tower into a lighthouse, and in that process, God starting other church communities. Here's another picture shared by Jen Rawson. It was a picture of kings as a tree trunk growing upwards and outwards, the branches spreading further and further afield, and other communities and other places being affected by this tree that was growing. And it was bringing the knowledge of God into places it wasn't. But within that, there was a deep and necessary connection that these weren't just like new trees starting here, here, and here, but there was a sense of connectedness about the whole thing that was going to be really important to achieving the vision that God was giving. And as we kept praying about these things and many other words, we kept saying, well, Lord, please just show us some strategies of how we could do it. And he just kept giving us Abraham, Abraham going without knowing. And we said, Lord, show us more details, please. And he'd say, great, just start, please. And there's a brilliant verse in Exodus 14 where God's people are crossing, they're being pursued by the Egyptians in the desert. They come to the Red Sea. Moses is about to part the Red Sea. Everybody is shouting to God saying, help, we're going to die. According to the Living Bible, which is a different translation, God says to Moses, quit praying and get the people moving. And we just feel the sense of action this year. You know, we've been praying about these things a lot. It's time to actually start moving. We're going to keep praying as well, but we're going to pray on the move. And here's the thing about there, as somebody pointed out to me last week, that the word there includes the word here. So as we think about there, it's about here going to there. It's about there coming from here. It's about knowing that the reason we want to go there is because we love here and we want here to be there and we want there to be here. So all of this is calling all of us together on a mission and to action today. Are you okay with that? Good. So what does it mean? Let's look at the next slide, please, Chris. So the next step is to see congregation as kings established in multiple gathered communities. So we've got one. This is our one gathered community. We would like to see that to go to two, and then to three, and then to more. We want to see something start in the northern part of Edinburgh, in the New Haven area, and something in Midlothian. The direction is clear. The speed and the detail less so. We want to be spirit-led. We're a charismatic church, right? So we want to let God keep defining the speed at which we move at. That might be slower than we want. It might be faster than we're comfortable with. But we trust him with these things. Next slide, please, Chris. So what we see is one church. It's the tree spreading out. One church, but with multiple expressions or multiple communities, as we're going to call them. So they're not so much plants as in different things, but they're communities of kings. What does that look like? Well, if you could put the next slide up, so I call this a Venn diagram. Other people call it an Euler diagram. Yeah, apparently. I'm just going to go simple today and call it an infographic. So here's what it means for us to be one church and also kind of churches in different communities at the same times. So we have a vision that we love and share together as a kings. That's something that's not going to change. Our values won't change. Wherever we are, we love the word, we love the spirit. We're a relational church, more than task-focused. We're missional. We're not inward-looking. We love the grace of God. Wherever you see King's Church, we want these things to be true. Our values don't change. Our membership. To be a member of any community of Kings is to be a member of Kings. We have one eldership leading the church, which is currently Chris, me, and Luke. In time, we'd love to see elders raised up in other communities or these different diverse communities as well. We think there's benefits to having one charitable status, one governance, one set of protocols for important things like safeguarding and finance. These things take years to develop for us to do those things well, and we do them well. And it seems a shame to just start those things over again from scratch when there's so much learning and knowledge that we have built up. and frees us up to be more missional in what we do and to move a little faster. There's things like youth. To have two or three youth in a church is great, but isn't it powerful when you've got 20 or 30 gathering together for worship and teaching? Let's have one shared youth group across our places. Let's have one set of children's resources, one staff team. All these things make sense if we're going to be missional in these diverse communities to keep the shared things clear. But then in our communities, we'd love to gather those in different ways. So we'd love there to be different Sunday gatherings. So not everybody gathered here in Gilmore Place where we are, but to be gathering in their places, in their communities, closer to where they live. We would aim to have weekly gatherings with some shared gatherings, because we're one church, so we would still be gathering together with a good frequency. But we would have a local leadership team of men and women who would be supporting that particular locality and that particular community, but with me inputting those leaders at this time on behalf of us as elders. Each of these communities would have their own outreach strategies. Each of these communities would have their own serving teams who would be, it would create opportunities for more of us to be serving. Some of our teams always need people to be serving on them. Other teams, they're always saying, oh, you know what, we've just got too many people in this team. And so people get frustrated. Well, wonderfully, we're going to create more capacity and more teams so that more people can use their gifts. So that's something of what we're doing. That might feel a little bit too high view for you. Let's go for the next slide, please, because it's a nice picture. There you go. Picture of the north of Edinburgh, isn't it beautiful? Granton Lighthouse, we had a prophetic word about that many years ago. We would like to start something that in a year or so's time, we'd love that to be a weekly gathering, but we want to take some stepping stones to get there over this next year. So what we feel is to start by having a vision evening. Next slide, please. On next Sunday evening at Phil and Karen's house. We haven't put their address on the slide because it's a public gathering, but if you get the news email, their address will be in there for you to let them know that you're coming. And we're just going to gather and just share more about the north of Edinburgh and what our heart is and what God, we're hoping God is going to do there. And then we're going to start a monthly afternoon gathering in the north of Edinburgh. In the heart of New Haven Community Centre, and those dates are in your stepping in, stepping out brochure. So if you live in the north of Edinburgh, or if you're going to move to the north of Edinburgh, that might be a really exciting evening for you to go to hear more about what that looks like. We're also going to start a community in Kings in Midlothian. And this is an earlier stage. We have relatively fewer people who live in Midlothian, but we have some wonderful, excellent people. So this is, first of all, a shout out that if you're thinking of moving house, then Midlothian might be a place that you want to live, because God is going to do something there. And this is us putting our stake in the ground today to say, why don't you ask God, where do you want me to live? And it might be that God directs you there. So slightly different timescales. Around about Easter time this year, I'm going to gather with some of the key leaders there and just we'll begin to just formulate a plan for how we could pray and sow into that area to see what God could be doing in the time ahead. So we don't have times and dates for that one yet, but we'll be making those a bit later this year. And also, that will mean if we're starting communities in the north of Edinburgh and in Midlothian, that will change who we are right here. So this, in a sense, will become a community of Kings, of these three communities. So that will mean some change for us as well, and Chris will talk about that in a moment. We want each of these communities to feel cheered on, prayed for, and encouraged by all of us. So in one sense, we'd love to see you to see yourself as part of one and three communities at the same time, because we're part of one church. It's a bit like the mystery of the Trinity, isn't it? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all for one and one for all. This is what God is doing with us. So I'm going to invite Luke to come now and talk to us.
Well, one of the things we do feel, and you might have picked this up already, is that Dan has a specific role for us as elders and as a church in getting these new communities started. So ensuring that their foundations are really good, this values transfer that he was talking about, establishing those values in those communities that are here as well, that we cherish, that happens. Establishing the team that's going to work, leading those communities, certainly the team that's going to start that in both those places, helping to identify and work with the people who God is calling to be a part of that. And also, as we've just said, keeping those communities connected to Kings. And there's lots of practical ways we'll be doing that, but a key way of that is actually through shared leadership. And Dan is going to be the point person for that, keeping them connected to this community and to the other one, and also keeping those communities connected to us. You know what I mean? So we really want that to feel like there is a that's going in both directions all the time, rather than just in one direction. It's a very significant role. It requires a lot of time. It requires a lot of headspace. And Dan does have an incredible amount of capacity to manage many things at once. But as we felt we were getting clarity that this was the role for Dan to play, we felt very clearly, well, that means that some of the other things he needs to do, other people are going to need to do instead. Now, a lot of those are things that you may not see happening. There are a lot of organizational, behind the scenes, staffing, those kind of things. And so we're going to be making some staff adjustments and working that through as a team and as elders to work that out. There may be occasions where you might expect to speak to Dan about something and you get one of the other great elders instead, just because we need to spread some of those different roles out a bit as well. So this is something that we feel, okay, we've got a bit more clarity on that. And I hope you're getting this feel of us saying, hey, we've got enough to go forward, but we don't know all of it. And just want to say as elders, we've been thinking, praying, listening to God about this for years. And it can feel like you're just chewing it through. You're like, how do we, we've sat in a room together and be like, yeah, but what are we going to do? And there's moments where God gives you that frustration. And there's moments where he's suddenly like, yeah, this. And the prophetic makes sense. The arranging of circumstances suddenly makes sense. Ah, yes, God's doing this. He's bringing it together. And so it's just want to say it's so exciting for us to be stepping into this next moment. With still, as Dan has said, plenty of unclarity, like the speed at which these things are going to happen. We are not going to put like arbitrary deadlines or assume a one speed fits all model for these two communities. They're in different stages. God's going to do different things with them differently. As far as I'm aware, branches on trees grow at different speeds. That's absolutely fine. So we're expecting that. And so we look at what's happening in Midlothian already. We look at what's happening in the north already. And we say, okay, well, this is at this stage. This is at that stage. So let's do what suits that rather than some kind of grand plan of what we think everything should be doing all at once. So there'll be a lot of that. So just comparison is never a helpful thing in these ways. And don't be like, oh, well, they're doing that. Why aren't they doing that? Well, because God's speaking to each of our three communities about what he wants us to do next. And we really are not in a rush about this. We feel simultaneously the urgency of God's calling us to do this, but also the responsibility to do it really well. We want to build things that last. And so that takes time and it takes a lot of attention and a lot of prayer. And so we'll be doing that. Because of these changes going at different paces, there will be kind of bits of mess, as it were, unclarity that we'll have to live with for a while. We might have, for example, small groups with people in them who go to different communities, at least for a while. There isn't a cutoff moment at which you have to choose which of these communities you're going to be in, and that's your only chance, and that's gone. There will be pioneering teams in both of them, and then there may well be other people who join them at a later stage. We think that's great. We're going to be encouraging that. And the final thing I guess I want to say just now is that although clearly both of these new communities are being established geographically, as it were, we are not saying that you have to be in the community that is nearest to where you live. This isn't, we're not kind of dividing up our membership and saying, right, you need to go there and you need to go there and you have to stay here. Because we believe that God works through faith. that God speaks to people individually and calls them. And so we want you to do that. We want you to make a decision based on the faith that God is giving you, to listen to God, to look at what he's doing, to trust him, and then to act. So nearly 3 years ago, Deb and I were looking to move house, and we knew that something like this was in the pipeline, that this was what God was calling us to do. And so we spoke to each other a lot. We spoke with others. We prayed, God, where do you want us to be? Well, the house that we bought is closest to this community, basically, and we felt that's what God said to us. But we didn't just default to that. We wanted to make that a faith decision. And so if you think, I think it's probably this one, or if you end up in this community, I really want to encourage you to have made that decision because of faith, not for any other reason, because that's what God's looking for and that's what God loves to bless. As I was praying about this earlier in the week, I felt God remind me that story that Dan read, that famous story, we can think, where's the safest place to be in that moment? There's a storm and Jesus out in the water and there's a boat. Where is the safest place to be? It's not on the boat. It's where Jesus is. Jesus is the one who rescues Peter and keeps him above the waves. And so where you want to be, the safest place for you to be, the best place for you to be, is where Jesus wants you to be. And so we want every person here to be saying to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you, wherever it is that he calls you to go. Now, Chris is going to talk some more about the implications for this community.
Thanks, Luke. Morning, everyone. Good to see you. It's exciting, isn't it? God is multiplying us and growing our church family. And when a family grows, life changes for everyone in that family. We're experiencing that in our house right now with the arrival of baby Isabella. And new life is really exciting. It's brilliant. We're loving it. But there's no doubt that it also throws up challenges as everyone in the family has to adjust to a new reality. And the same is true for us at King's. What happens in North Edinburgh or Midlothian will impact our central community here because we are connected. We are one family. As God does a new thing, this community might feel a little bit different. It will feel different. Our Sunday morning attendance, for instance, might fluctuate a bit and feel a bit different week to week. For example, when we do these monthly afternoon Sunday gatherings in North Edinburgh, those guys probably won't be here on a Sunday morning. And if you're not part of that North Edinburgh community, you're going to undoubtedly miss seeing those guys as regularly as you used to. And with change like that, often there comes a sense of loss. And it can feel a little bit unsettling, can't it? Change can be messy and frustrating. And so in the midst of that, it's really, really important that we all work to keep our eyes on the big picture of what God is doing. If God is in this, then it's going to be worth stepping into some discomfort to see it through. Because God can always be trusted and his plans are always good. If God is calling you to remain part of this central King's community, Gilmore Place King's community, not sure on what we'll be calling it, but if he's calling you to remain here, rather than joining one of the other communities in the north or in Midlothian, I want to encourage you that you have a vital role to play in helping this vision come to pass. That might look like you strengthening this community by joining a serving team for the first time or committing to being a regular active member of your midweek small group or exploring membership at King's. Membership is about stepping fully into the church family as a participant, rather than an observer. And this term, by the way, we are running Explore Membership in a kind of different slot than we normally do. If you just pop up the slide there, we're going to do it on Thursday evenings in March. So a slightly different time. It's just a chance for you, if you haven't done that yet, to spend time with us as leaders and find out more about the story of Kings and what we believe, ask your questions and all of that. And importantly, discover how you can play your part. And you can sign up for that today if you like at the Connect Desks or in the news email online. As we send people out from here to lead and serve elsewhere in other places, we're going to miss what they bring to our central community. There's no doubt about that. There's some great and wonderful, experienced leaders that are going to be sent out. And that will create a lot of gaps here. This isn't a new thing in the church. You know, we think of Acts 13, where the church in Antioch sent out two of their very best leaders in Paul and Barnabas. Imagine the hole that those guys left in that community. But God did an amazing thing through them as he started new church communities through them. And he also continued to bless and strengthen the church in Antioch so that they could keep welcoming in new believers. They could keep discipling people well so that they could keep sending people out over and over again. And we believe that's what God wants to do at Kings. Gaps provide opportunities, as Dan's already said, for new people to step into the purposes of God. And we're going to need existing leaders at Kings to step into and carry more leadership responsibility over this next season. And we're going to need many others to step into leadership for the very first time as well. Don't discount yourself. You might feel like you're too young or too old or too new or too busy. But God calls the unqualified to trust him and follow his prompting. As a church, we're going to continue to provide opportunities as well for you to get trained and equipped so that you can grow in God and step into his purposes. Again, we'll be putting on a number of leadership training events, mornings like the morning that we just had with Terry Virgo, to help you grow. And because we are really great at coming up with names for things, we called it Grow. And for most of the Grow mornings, we're going to be inviting people from outside Kings who can come in and use their trusted gifts, pastoral gifts, leading gifts, prophetic gifts to really build us up and help us grow as a church. Maybe you've never been along to something like this at Kings before. Maybe you've discounted yourself. Well, I want to encourage you to step in and see how God uses that. We're also looking to run a course this year, perhaps kind of one evening per month, that kind of thing, to help people in Kings, those of us aspiring to leadership, to really just improve understanding of the Bible and biblical literacy. Basically, we're still figuring out some of the details of what exactly that's going to look like, but do watch this space. We'll have something to announce soon. You know, as we start these new communities of Kings, my prayer is that it's going to stir us in this central community to be ever more intentional about reaching out to our local community where God has placed us. I think it would be all too easy in this season to think that the kind of mission and evangelism is all out there being done by the people who are pioneering the new communities. But having a radical missional mindset is going to be absolutely crucial to our central Kings community, as crucial as it is to the new communities in Edinburgh or Midlothian. We want to see people who are meeting in this building on a Sunday stepping into new boldness in their personal evangelism through the week. We're going to continue to do Street Cafe on Saturdays nearby to this building. Do get involved in that. And we want to encourage new outreach initiatives as well. A really good example of that was a family came to us recently and said, hey, we'd really like this Easter to do like a big Easter egg hunt for everyone in our community in their local park. We think, brilliant, yeah, do that. That would be so good. We'd love to see more and more things like that going on. Imagine what God could do in our central Kings community if we all adopted a church planting mindset similar to those being sent out to new locations. Finally, for me, I think the sense of loss that we may feel as we give away and send people out will be countered wonderfully and powerfully by regular moments of connection together. We'll continue to meet together as one church at regular intervals, and we will get together for things like church weekends away and church lunches and times of worship and training and so on. This ongoing sense of connection, as Luke said, I think is such a key part of what we believe God is doing among us. And I feel so excited when I think ahead to times in the future when multiple communities of Kings gather back together again and celebrate the growth and new life that God has brought. as time goes on, I think we're going to find out more and more of an amazing, exciting thing. And I'm full of faith that God has amazing things in store for us. Amen? Luke and I just have a few other little bits of news that we want to share with you. So over to Luke, and then I'll jump back up to finish that off.
Yeah, so just a few leadership changes that we want to tell you about. From April, we're going to have a new safeguarding officer. That's going to be Karis Cookman. She's taking on this vital role that Rachel Fleming has done so faithfully since 2019. If you know Karis, you'll know that she will have a new baby at that point. But you should also know that she has a wealth of experience and wisdom in this area, and we're confident that she's going to do a great job. Another piece of news is that Gemma Morton is stepping down from her role as youth worker. And Gemma has been doing this role for the past 8 years and has seen God do some remarkable things in young people in our church, but also in the local community, in the school, with the Hub 104 cafe that happens here. And she still loves all of that, but she feels that God has told her it's time for something new. And so she is obeying him, and that's part of what going without knowing looks like for her. And so we've said, okay, great, well, let's believe God for that. And she's passing on her role to Ethan Sampson, and we're really excited to see what Ethan's energy and passion are going to produce in our youth work in the next season. Our Connect team is also going to have a new leader as Viv McVie steps away from that role and Peter Ross takes it on. Viv has led Connect since 2018 and is now focusing on some of the other amazing things that she does. And as I work with her on a couple of those, I'm really pleased about that. I'm really excited to see how Peter will influence our excellent Connect team. We also have a gap in our kids' work administration and leadership. So Karis has been doing some maternity leave for us whilst Joe Clark has been on maternity leave. Karis's maternity leave is now starting. So there's just a few little bits of ongoing things that that King's Kids needs. There's been some brilliant work done by both Karis and Joe. And we've asked Ruth Noble, who is on our Heroes team, to help us with this over the next few months. And we're really pleased that she has said yes to that. And she's going to do really well. We're going to give her all the help we can. But just to say, if you do serve in King's Kids, or you are a parent or carer of someone in King's Kids, or you chat with someone who's in either of those categories, it may just be an area where we are bearing with one another over the next few months. And so I really want to encourage you to encourage others in that. And say, well, that's okay. Let's work it out. We'll be all right. There's just some challenges that we'll be working through with that. And then finally from me, as we said last year, we are continuing to improve the balcony and this building in general. We believe God's going to keep bringing many people to it. And so there'll be more changes that we're doing in the space, upstairs and the welcome area as well. And literally watch this space over the coming months and you'll see those happen.
Thanks. Over the past few years, one of the huge highlights of church life has been our annual church weekend away. If you've been to it before, you'll know it. They've just been absolutely brilliant. We're doing it again this year, the 16th to the 18th of May at the same place, Witoff Park, beautiful location down in the Scottish Borders. And the sun always shines down there. So it's brilliant, seriously. God has just brought the sunshine the last few years. May he do it again. Dave and Liz Holden are going to be our speakers for this year. Dave and Liz lead our family of churches, New Ground. So we're so excited they're going to be with us. And really exciting, sign-ups are now open as of like right now. Last year, Alex Wagner won the prize to be the first sign-up. I'm not saying it's a competition or anything, but do book your place as soon as you can. They're going to be going quickly. If you've never been to a church weekend away before, these are just really great times. It's a perfect way for you to step in to the family of Kings, to get to know more people and to feel more part of what God's doing here. Lastly, and I know I'm stating the obvious here, guys, but for everything that we have been talking about this morning, we need God desperately. And so we need to pray. So please come back here tonight. We're going to be meeting at 6:30 to 8 o'clock in the side hall down there to ask God to lead us and guide us and provide all that we need in this next season as we take these next steps with him. So come back tonight. See you at 6:30. I'm going to pass back to Dan, and he's going to help us respond to God right now.
Great. Thanks, Luke and Chris. Let's get back to the boat, right? Jesus calling Peter to walk to him on the water. And let's remember how the story ends with people worshipping Jesus. He's amazing. And somebody noted this morning, said, oh, wow, we cut the worship a bit short this morning. I said, well, that's because our objective is that many, many hundreds and thousands of people become worshippers over this next few years through the ministry of King's Church. We want to see that happen in the north and in Midlothian and here in the central part of Edinburgh. So just want to call us to a response for a moment, to allow Jesus to begin to speak to us. You know, this episode, it was a messy episode. It started with Peter asking Jesus something, and then Jesus asking Peter something, and then they ended up back in the boat anyway. And you think, what was that all about? When we follow Jesus, it's usually not all here and none here. It's usually about us being sensitive to what he's saying and doing in our lives and us dealing with some tensions for a season. So let me ask you this question. What does stepping out look like for you? Maybe as we've talked about these three communities, North, Midlothian, Central here, maybe you feel already God connecting you to one of those. Each of those will require a sense of faith from us. Where is Jesus saying, come? If we follow Jesus in these things, then we'll need to embrace some messy moments where we get wet. That seems to be part of Peter's journey, to fall in the water and to let him pull us back out again. Here's something we'd really want to ask for everybody here is this, that many of us are serving in Kings. Sometimes when we get a new idea and we think, oh, no, Jesus has spoken to me about this thing here, I'm therefore going to give up everything else I'm doing to do this thing here. We don't feel that's quite the right response as we do this, because actually we'll need to be in and out of the boat a bit. We need to keep serving our teams. We need to keep serving our kids. We need to make sure that we've got good teams here. So please do keep serving, even as you feel God leading you into new places. Embrace the messy moments. And part of that is there'll be messy moments in communication. Even everything we've said today probably won't have been that clear. And you'll be like, well, I don't really understand. It's fine to feel that way, but let's do the biblical thing. Let's bring those conversations directly so that we can have good, clear unity in all the things that we do together. There's no question that's too silly. It's fine to ask questions. And as Chris said, if you're new to Kings, there's an invitation for you to step in to this wonderful family called Kings and to be a part and to play your part and to find your place. So let's stand together and let's ask God to be with us as we think about these things. Lord Jesus, our objective is that many, many people come to worship Jesus. Lord, we long for that to happen from the north of Edinburgh to the south, to Midlothian, to the Lothians, to Scotland. Lord Jesus, we say, would you use us for your glory? And Lord, in our weakness, would you feel the frailty of our communications and our prayers? And Lord, help us hear these precious words that you speak over us to come. So I pray for everyone here, Lord, that we'd hear you speaking your gentle, loving, and clear voice. Amen.